What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Lots of amazing stuff happening on King Day in Oakland this year, including a talk about a new book and a movement. With our next guest, we are joined by Walda Katz Fishman, a longtime peace activist and writer whose work centers on anti-war organizing, Palestinian solidarity, and movements for global justice. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes. Well, Jasmine Banks, I'm going to say her name. Anything Jasmine Banks asks me to do, I do. That's the marching orders, and I follow them.
That's
great. Scott
That's
is great. A veteran Black liberation organizer and writer and a founding member of the Black Power Movement organization, the League of Revolutionary Black Workers. Good morning, Jerome. Thank you for joining.
Good morning.
All right. So on Monday, January 19th at 5 p.m. at Oak Stop. So for my listeners in Oakland, on your way back from the APTP Reclaim the Radical Legacy at King March, be right there. You can stop at Oak Stop, and there will be a conversation with our two guests about a book they wrote called Motown and the Making of Working Class Revolutionaries. Jerome, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to whip us through. Jerome, I'm going to start with you. What was the League of Revolutionary Black Workers?
The League of Revolutionary Black Workers was an organization in Detroit, founded in 1968 with DRUM. Most people have heard of DRUM, the Dodge Revolutionary Union Movement. And it started with a wildcat strike in 1968 and advanced from there to an organization that was in almost 20 auto plants and had a base in the community and the high schools. So it was a well-rounded organization fighting for working class and mainly at that point for Black workers, equality within the shop and, just really fighting for the same sort of civil rights demands that was there. But we took those struggles to the point of production.
And this is primarily in Detroit. Yes, and I'm learning as I go. So.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Detroit, and the organization was based in Detroit, Michigan.
Talk about how you all shaped the auto industry, the union for the auto industry, and the ripple effect that it had across the country.
Well, the main thing to know here is that our organization, we not only had to fight the corporations, General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, but we also had to fight the union. You know, we pay the unions their salaries, and we demanded that they represented us correctly. You know, back in the 60s and early 70s, the union's expression of white supremacy was as strong as the corporation's expression of white supremacy. And so we demanded that the unions represent us, and we demanded that they hire Black workers in the union structure from top to bottom. And so it was not just a fight against the corporations. I think the effects that we had on the union was that now when you look at some of the union structures, you'll see Black leadership throughout the process. But that's not as far as we wanted them to go. We wanted them to go a lot further. And we wanted them to go back to their roots of being a really independent body that represented not only the workers of their membership, but also the working class as a whole.
Walda Katz Fishman, what are the main threads of the book? Like, I don't want you to give it away, but if you were to tell somebody, give us a log line or synopsis, what are you uplifting in the chapters?
So, thanks for the question. I also grew up in the South. And so I think one of the essential threads is understanding the history of this country of genocide, chattel slavery, white supremacy, class exploitation, and how that reality of the South also became a reality of the North as workers from the South, because many of the leadership of the League were Southerners who were first, second generation Northerners. So I think the strategic importance of the South and knowing our history, white supremacy and the fight against really fascism then and now. Two is the criticalness of political education. Jerome didn't have a chance to talk about it, but when they had won some of the fights against the union and the corporation, and blacks were part of it, they still didn't find their working conditions day to day changed. And so they said, we need to understand why. So, you know, they began a long study and came to Marxism, not initially, but, you know, this, you know, applied Marxism became a tool that they could understand class exploitation, racial gender oppression. And that's really critical. And just the importance of political community and really collectivity to ride the ebbs and flows of the movement, because the comrades who are still with us are still politically active, extremely active. And so how do you become a revolutionary? This is Jerome's quote, and stay a revolutionary for 50 years. And so I think it's those threads that are really important.
I tell you real quick, and then I'm going to say where and when the events are, and then I got to let you all go. My daughter is in college, and she took a Black Marxism class last quarter, and boy, that child ran me ragged.
have her read our book.
I will get it to you. So you all can hear these two brilliant people on January 19th at Oak Stop at 5 o'clock p.m. And again on January 21st at Medicine for Nightmares at 7 p.m. We will link to both of the events on the archive websites of this show. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And I'm going to try to get by one of them events for sure. I got to holler at Jazz anyway.
Okay. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Kat.
And I would love to meet you in person that one.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to make it happen.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.